You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. California is one of the largest wine regions in the world, producing upwards of 80% of wine in the United States. And we are entering crush time. It is harvest season, that moment of truth that reveals how weather, climate, and other conditions have influenced 2025 vintage grapes, which can vary greatly from one region to the next. And while California is a destination for wine tourism, there are a lot of hidden gems that fly under the radar. So today, we're going to focus on the Sierra Nevada foothills, specifically Placer County, which is home to a relatively small wine region with a growing history that dates back to the Gold Rush. Jim Allen is the president of the Placer County Wine and Grape Association. Justin Black is the owner of Doradane Wines in Lincoln. And Matt Stone is a winemaker and vineyard manager at Lone Buffalo Vineyards in Auburn. Welcome to you all.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Thank you.
It is a treat. Well, Jim, I want to start with you. You're the president of the Placer County Wine and Grape Association. How far do grapes go back in Placer County?
Oh my gosh.
Really surprised to learn it goes back to the Gold Rush.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's a fantastic area with a rich agricultural heritage. And yes, all the way back to the Gold Rush time, you've had people when they moved west and they started, you know, digging for gold, we had to supply them with all the things that they wanted, all the, you know, not only blue jeans from Levi's, but also with the wine that they expected to have in celebration.
Yeah, when we have conversations about wine, I mean, the regions are so different across California. What is Placer County's reputation when it comes to wine?
I think it has a fantastic reputation. You know, we have a great combination of outstanding climate with warm days and cool nights as the cool air cascades down the Sierras. We have great soils. They're great for agriculture of all kinds, but certainly having that sort of granitic soil with some volcanic elements to it, it allows the grape vines to actually grow deep roots. And that's one of the things you need to grow healthy, robust, flavorful grapes. So we've got it all. We're blessed with climate, we're blessed with soil, and we're blessed with talented winemakers.
Is it similar to other regions in the world that you can compare it to?
That's actually interesting. You know, we're most often compared to the Rhone region of France, specifically in the types of grapes that grow really well here. I think if you look to the old world in Europe, you'll notice that they always grew their vineyards on hillsides. It allowed them to sort of control the exposure to the sun. They'd pick which side of the valley they wanted to be on, the east or the west side. It allows for fantastic drainage of the soil. So when you look at the foothills, I think we have a lot in common with many of the valley areas, whether it's in Tuscany, whether it's in France, even in like the Douro Valley of Portugal.
Yeah, last week we had some growers from Apple Hill on the show, and they were talking about the elevation, the topography, the soil. It's really like that sweet spot that makes growing along the foothills so great.
Yeah, if you don't have all of those things, you're put in a position as a grape grower where you have to find accommodation. And we're blessed to have all of those, and especially on the growing side. You know, we talk about wine, but it really has, there are two sides of that pancake. One side is the grape growing, the viticulture, and the other side is the winemaking, the enology. And on the grape growing side, the viticulture, having that varied topography, those rolling hills with the great diurnal shift in temperature, warm days, cool nights, it gives you all the tools, you know, right there at your fingertips. So you're not trying to figure out, well, how do I make up for a deficiency that I might have in the flatland or someplace that's absolutely got fantastic sun exposure, but maybe doesn't have great soil for deep-rooted vines.
Yeah, the foundation is already there.
Yes.
The ingredients are already there.
You know, absolutely.
Well, let's move over to Auburn. Matt, you're with Lone Buffalo Vineyards. How did you get into winemaking in Placer County?
I fell into winemaking in Placer after living in Europe for a number of years. I did a couple of master degrees out there and then traveled around working in different wineries in Germany and France and Italy, and decided to come back home because my sister moved to Roseville. So I was looking for wineries out in the area and landed at Lone Buffalo.
How long have you been in operation?
Lone Buffalo has been a bonded winery for about 18 years. And I've been there for, it'd be 5 years in a couple of months.
How is this harvest looking?
this is a great harvest. This year's been a good temperature-wise, weather, climate, vintage. We had a nice spring with some rain in it, and heading into summer, this summer was pretty mild compared to past summers, so the grapes had a nice time to ripen and hang. So the fruit's looking really good this year.
Justin, you're over in Lincoln, Dourdain Wines. How long have you been making wine in Placer County?
I've been making wine about 12 years and growing vineyards for 10. And I just wanted to add that I'm also the acting president for the Placer County Vintners Association, which is the group, kind of sister group to Jim's. We represent the commercial wineries and put on a number of events every year to raise awareness about our businesses and the wine trail that's hidden right in everybody's backyard. Oftentimes, Placer County gets confused with Placerville. So I love to make that distinction for people. We're Placer County, so we're talking Lincoln, Auburn, Newcastle, Loomis, Granite Bay, and those surrounding areas. We have about 25 wineries and a couple of farm breweries that are also bonded wineries from their mead and cider production. So it's a pretty special thing that we have going on here. They really range from all styles and all sizes on the larger end with restaurants, on the smaller end, mine, which is outdoor tasting, very quaint, kind of farm style and rustic.
Tell us about the wine trail in Placer County. That sounds like fun and an easy way to explore the 25, you know, wineries and breweries that are available.
It is. It's a great time. It's very convenient for, you know, people in the area. It's really a hidden gem. We're producing some really great quality wines in the region. Our association puts out a map, which has not only the wineries, but other kind of related ag interests from farm stands, local breweries, hiking trails. You can find that at placerwine.com or at any of the local wineries.
How has visiting Placer County for wine, or just the interest in wine, grown in Placer County, Justin?
Oh, gosh, I'd say, you know, the last 5 years, we've probably added a handful of wineries. So we've seen some growth. I would say interest is up. Definitely the wines are high caliber, yet very affordable. It really has something for everyone. And a great selection of varieties kind of get you out of your comfort zone. There's obviously the cabs and the things that we're used to, but there's lots of lesser known varieties being produced here in the region, and really kind of like an educational tasting experience to have those options.
What is harvest looking like for you this year?
My harvest actually wrapped up yesterday. My harvest was a bit early and condensed into about 2 weeks. Everything seemed to come ripe right about the same time for me, which made it challenging, but kind of nice to be over the hump of bringing in fruit for the season. So we're looking at finishing ferments and pressing things off and getting them barreled down in the next couple weeks.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Jim Allen, Justin Black, and Matt Stone about the wine industry in Placer County. As Justin mentioned, he is the board president with Placer County Vintners Association. Jim, you're with the Placer County Wine and Grape Association. How many wineries and vineyards make up your association?
Our association has been around since 2003, and it's a chartered not-for-profit. And our charter is to serve both the non-commercial winemakers, the grape growers, and the wine enthusiasts of Placer County, and not limited to people who live in Placer County. In fact, as Justin mentioned, we are a sister to the commercial vintners group, and our goal is to try and get people up to the wineries, expose them to the region, and help them understand what's unique and different about the region in terms of climate and soil, as Justin mentioned, about the types of wines we make, but also around the scale. You know, there's a significant difference in the scale of winemaking, and that Placer County is primarily composed of boutique winemakers. And that makes for such a different experience when you want to go talk to somebody about the wine. You're going to go up to a tasting room. You're going to have the chance to experience a fantastic wine. And you're likely going to have the experience to talk to somebody, if not the lead winemaker, about that. And that's something that's kind of lost when you get into the bigger scale winemaking regions of the state. And there's a place for everybody. And I'm not going to say who makes the best wines, But I'm going to say, in terms of a wine experience, and a wine experience we would define as something that's going to add to an event, a location, a shared experience with someone you care about. When you do that in a boutique environment and you have the opportunity to learn about what you're enjoying, I think it makes it that much more special. So going back to your question, the Placer County Wine and Grape Association is about helping you discover those experiences, helping you to learn more about it, helping you to find the wineries and the winemakers that you may relate to most, and doing that in a fun, approachable way. We schedule events virtually every month of the year. Our events are anywhere from, you know, how we prune the vineyards in the late winter to how we ferment the grapes and what's involved with yeast selection and the temperature in which we ferment and how we extract color from grapes. And of course, how do we enjoy it in terms of food and wine pairings?
Is it difficult getting that message out to the broader wine community, given that you have lots of regions, some that are obviously a lot bigger? You think of Napa or Sonoma. Is it challenging getting that message out to attract people to, you know, make the drive to Placer County?
Yeah. I'm happy to go first. I'm sure Justin and Matt have their own perspectives on this. But I think it is. You know, I think we have a great product. I think we have a great I'm confident we have a great environment in which to enjoy that product. It's about how do we create the awareness. Boutique wineries have a difficult time getting shelf space in major retailers. So it's not like you can browse your local major retailer and see a broad selection of local wines. It's just difficult to get that for all the reasons that big box retail is good and cost effective. And when you have a difficult time with awareness, you have a difficult time with incenting trial. You know, first I need to make you aware of this great product, this great Come to Lone Buffalo. You're going to get to meet Matt. He's a phenomenal winemaker. They have a fantastic Viognier that I enjoy. And when you go there, you're going to have a chance to talk to Matt. You got to work a little bit harder to get that message out and to encourage someone to make that first step. And I think what we've seen, and this is what Justin alluded to, when people make that first step, they're hooked. They want to visit the next one. They want to visit the same one again, and they want to make it part of their routine schedule of outings to enjoy the foothills.
Hmm. Well, Matt, how do people learn about Lone Buffalo and your winery? Is it mostly word of mouth? How do you get the message out?
Yeah, word of mouth. Social media presence helps as well, depending on what kind of demographic you're trying to gravitate towards your winery. It's a mixed bag, and we have, like Jim was talking about, the events that we have pretty much every month to bring people in for different, you know, wine tasting tours and such. Our reach, we're trying to key in, at least in my perspective, more towards SAC. So it's nice to be on the radio here to gravitate towards that audience, because they're just a hop, skip, and a jump away. And they don't necessarily have to go to Napa or Sonoma when they have something so great in their backyard that they probably don't know so much about.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and when you're in Sacramento, you could drive, you know, 20 minutes south to the Delta or go down to Lodi, but you can also take a half hour drive and go up to Auburn and go to your vineyard and your winery as well. Justin, I guess, especially since you're part of an association as well, you're a board president, what goes into promoting Placer County as a wine destination?
Oh, gosh, so much. Like I mentioned before, we put on about four events a year that go. They're basically fundraisers for our nonprofit, the Placer County Vintners Association. And all that money goes directly back into marketing the member wineries. Couple of them that are coming up. One of them is actually not our event, but we're large supporters of the event. The Auburn Wine and Food Festival, October 11th. Basically a restaurant, a store in Old Town and downtown Auburn, and a local restaurant actually are paired together. And we do an actual food pairing with the restaurant and one of the wines selected ahead of time. So it's a great way to get people out kind of ahead of the holiday season and into stores they might not have otherwise been in, try some new wines, try some new restaurants. And then the other being Holiday in the Hills, which is one of our trail style events. December 6th and 7th, I believe, and that will get you free tasting at all the member wineries and a map, or I should say participating wineries. And this year's theme is Christmas vacation. So we have a fun holiday theme every year. So I'm looking forward to some really fun and funny decorations and outfits to go along with that.
Oh, like National Lampoon?
Yes.
Oh, got it. Yeah. Yeah, I think people can definitely take creative liberties with that. It should be a lot of fun. Finally, I'm just curious in terms of some challenges. We've been talking about, you know, there's just been a decline in alcohol consumption in recent years. Have you all seen that at your wineries? Any residual effects from fewer people drinking wine and trying to attract, get people into the door who are maybe a younger generation and haven't really explored wine, let alone boutique wines in Placer County? Justin?
Yeah, there's definitely a trend, and I'm, you know, believe that's part of it, but also other things come into play, weather and economy and so forth. I think as wineries, we're pivoting around that trend the best we can, although our product takes over a year, sometimes 3-4 years to produce and get in the bottle. So it's not terribly fluid in that regard. One of the things that we did this year, kind of with that in mind, is we set out to make an Argentina-style white Malbec, which is kind of unique to the region. It's a very low alcohol wine. It's harvested just after veraison, which is when the berries start to turn purple. So it's one of the very first things out of the vineyard, kind of right along with the sparkling wines. And the target on that is about 10% alcohol. So that's something that we're doing both to fill like a low alcohol category, but also to try to pivot with the economy and with the demand.
Jim, have you been seeing that as well among your members within the association?
Yeah, I think the trend is real, that people in general are consuming less alcohol. I think it's a bigger problem for the large, you know, super regional, national commercial brands. And I think we have to rely on them to educate and inform and to manage the awareness of that and how alcohol can be part of a healthy lifestyle and something enjoyed responsibly, which we, of course, support. I think the thing that we do in Placer County, and I think is probably common for all the Sierra Foothills and Boutique, is we try and focus on that experience. You know, I think there's, as Justin just described, having, and Matt, you know, there are a number of events to come up and enjoy and enjoy responsibly and reasonably. And it's very accretive to having a fun time and enjoying an event with people you care about, as I mentioned before. As Justin mentioned, I mean, it's not like soft drinks. You can't all of a sudden have a wild cherry flavor or something that you add in. It takes time both to plan in the vineyard side and then to create and age in the winery side. So if you look over the history of winemaking, certainly in the United States, if not you know, internationally in Europe, it's always been subject to a boom and bust cycle. You know, when it's very popular, you have people planting lots of vineyards and trying to catch a wave and say, everybody's excited about this variety, everybody's excited about this product, let's all plant it. And then what happens, because it takes, you know, 3 to 5 years to bring that to market, consumer preferences can change. And so I think we do see that, and I'm not going to not acknowledge it, but I think because we're trying to sell a whole complete package in Placer County and the foothills around, it's you know, there's a whole movement about eating local, so we'd like to, you know, participate in saying, if you're going to consume alcohol, consume that from a local manufacturer and winemaker. It's about, don't just consume the bottle, come up and enjoy the experience and create a memory. And if you like it, subscribe to a wine club and get to enjoy that over and over again. So I think that's how we're trying to accommodate it. And I expect that we're going to be very successful at it.
Jim Allen is the president of the Placer County Wine and Grape Association. Justin Black is the owner of Dorodane Wines in Lincoln. And Matt Stone is a winemaker and vineyard manager at Lone Buffalo Vineyards in Auburn. Thank all of you for joining us. It's a really interesting conversation.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
And we've been talking about the wine industry and this year's harvest in Placer County. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.